Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vacuum Cleaner. Save $200 on this powerful vac that doesn't have a cord and is bag-free. To save an additional $20 with free shipping, put in code word GRACECLEAN at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Very fun first hour. I gotta thank Howie Carr for that. You know, he's always telling me to do more local stuff. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think that because the news has been so national over the last couple of years, I tend to steer clear of it. But it obviously works. If you're bringing out the haters out of the woodwork and people are telling you that you're a runt or that you're, you know, anti-science, that means you got you hit something good.
Trump flake is a new one. I like that.
Trump flake. God bless the haters, the suckers. And the losers. Did you see that Trump wished the haters and the losers a happy Father's Day?
Yes.
He is so magnanimous. You know, he doesn't exclude anyone. Normalize including the haters and the losers. All right. So I do want to talk about something here just to go back a little bit to the media. I was talking with Howie today, and obviously the Sheldon White House story was hilarious yesterday. The senator belongs to an all-white club in Rhode Island, and I believe it's called like Bailey's Beach Club. I think that's the name of it. And he cracks me up because this is how much the media runs cover for these people, all right? And you can only imagine. We try not to do this every day, but Howie's working on a piece right now, and the piece is basically, imagine if Trump did it or said it or thought it or tweeted it. Now, if Trump belonged to an all-white club, I don't even have to describe to you the meltdown that you would be seeing on the mainstream media. It would be insane. You know, he was already called a Nazi to begin with. So I don't know where they'd go from there. You know, once you start comparing someone to Hitler on a daily basis for, you know, something they tweeted that has nothing to do with Hitler, it's hard to go anywhere else from there. When everything is Hitler, nothing is Hitler. But you can only imagine if Trump actually belonged to an all-white club. Of course, he doesn't. In fact, he integrated Mar-a-Lago, and it was the first club in Palm Beach to allow black people and Jewish people to join. But this is how Axios, they have this big scoop about Sheldon Whitehouse belonging, and not just belonging, but his wife being the majority shareholder in an all-white club. And this is what they write. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse defends membership of Elite Beach Club. Elite Beach Club. Is that how you would describe it, Jared?
That is not how I would describe it.
As a journalist, you would think that they would point out the fact that it's an all-white Elite Beach Club. That's kind of the story, some might say. And so then it gets you thinking about all of the other things that have been happening. Chuck Schumer said the R word just a few days ago. That got no play. Hunter Biden's texting the N word to people. He's making Asian slurs. And again, nobody cares because it doesn't have to do with Donald Trump. But there's another really interesting argument happening right now across America. And it's not just about double standards and liberal hypocrisy or COVID or anything. A huge, huge, huge story right now is critical race theory. And the argument, I actually listened today to a podcast by Ben Shapiro because I wanted to learn more about this. And I started to notice that the trap that the left kind of sticks people in is they'll say, you don't even know what critical race theory is. You hate it so much, you don't even know what it is. And there's a great piece by Ryan Gurdusky where he explains how the media is gaslighting America on critical race theory and basically saying, oh, it's not a big thing. It's not everywhere. You know, it's only in law schools. It's not. But it is. It's bleeding into absolutely everything. I read a story today about how restaurants are going to start adding equity tips to their restaurants to make everything more equal. I mean, they're teaching kids at a young age to separate their traits, you know, what makes them an oppressor versus someone who's oppressed. It's really, really scary stuff. And something very interesting happened because Joy Reid always does segments on this, and she talks about it like it's the conservative media's new boogeyman. They talk about critical race theory and it doesn't matter. And Obama said the same thing. He was being interviewed and said, you know, you think that conservatives would have something else to worry about, you know, rather than teaching people about slavery. I'm paraphrasing, but he was trying to downplay it. And the truth is, that's not what critical race theory is. It's not about teaching kids what Juneteenth is or what the significance of the Tulsa Massacre is or what slavery was. It's none of that. It's not making children feel inherently guilty based off something they can't control. It's not telling white kids they should feel ashamed of their whiteness. It's not telling black kids that they are inherently oppressed because they are black. And Joy Reid decided that she was going to talk about this on her show. And this is where it got really amusing. She decides to talk about it on her show. Let's first play the cut. Cut six, please.
While Juneteenth will now be commemorated nationwide, there's a catch. In some red states, it could soon be illegal to teach what the holiday is all about. That's because Republican state legislatures in a dozen states are now aiming to dictate how historical and modern racism in America are taught. That includes the state of Texas, where Juneteenth was first celebrated. Governor Abbott signed a law this week intended to ban critical race theory from being taught in public schools, even though it's not being taught in any K-12 curriculums anywhere.
Now this is what the left wants to do with critical race theory. You know, they want to make you feel that just because it's not necessarily exactly what the definition of that it's not being taught in schools. And Ryan Gerdusky put it well. He said, critical race theory is like an octopus with multiple tentacles. There are many parts of critical race theory, like its opposition and questioning of liberalism, equality theory, legal reasoning, enlightenment rationalism, and skepticism of the Constitution. Any one or even some of these beliefs can be dropped, and it's still at its heart critical race theory, except for the fundamental belief that racism is a widespread everyday experience of non-whites. It benefits whites regardless of their socioeconomic standing and is a social construction to advance the interests of whites. That is at its core and takes shape in many different aspects of our institutions. So when a school district insists they don't teach critical race theory, but have adopted equity training programs for employees or are fighting for anti-racism, it's the same thing with different branding. It's like insisting you've given up soda because you switch from Pepsi to Orange Crush. Now, Joy Reid made a big mistake. She decided to reference Christopher F. Rufo, who's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, which is a conservative think tank. And she decides to mention him on the air. And so he writes back to her on Twitter and says, Joy Reid has denounced me by name multiple times on her show, but she doesn't have the courage to invite me on as a guest. She knows that I will crush her critical race theory apologetics any day of the week. You know what Joy Reid decided was the problem here? So when you hear that tweet, what do you think? He's asking to be on the program. He's saying, hey, if you're going to mention me, at least give me the opportunity to defend myself and my reasoning and my thought process and my argument. But Joy Reid thinks this is about something else. You know what it's about? It's about racism. This guy.
Racism, racism.
She says, why not just contact my booking producers like a normal person, rather than going with the white man demands option? He writes back, I'm challenging you to a debate about critical race theory. The real question, are you going to accept this challenge or not? Now, the amazing thing about this is there were people who are fans of Joy Reid on Twitter who said, Joy, you discussed him on the show. You should be reaching out to him. I believe I agree with you. Not him, but it's only fair to invite him on. Critical race theory is a rolling public issue. A real journalist would see having him on their show as a great opportunity. Why are you so insecure? One follower tweeted. And that's the thing, is that she's insecure because she knows that she can't actually defend this and that it is everywhere. It's really amazing.
I'm yelling at the clouds.
And the funny thing is this is what you're going to hear now. And I was at the Talkers Convention a few weeks ago with the mailroom manager, and Brian Kilmeade did a keynote speech, and he was fabulous. And one thing he said was, I like to inform my listeners with enough information so they can go to barbecues on the weekend and have some points in their back pocket. And I thought that's a really great way to think about it. And the way that the left is going to try to make you feel stupid or make your argument feel less than is by saying, they're not even teaching critical race theory. Why are you making such a big deal about it? They don't even teach it in the schools. Wrong. You can call it whatever you like, but it's happening. You know how I know it's happening? Listen to this teacher who was explaining critical race theory on TikTok and tell me that he's not teaching this to his students. Cut 14.
So this comment right here is asking me to explain why not wanting critical race theory in the classroom is racist. Thank you for asking me this question. I'd love to explain it. So critical race theory talks about how the systems that we have, the laws that we have, how all of those are designed to oppress people groups. Things like mass incarceration, the prison industrial system, the military industrial system, all of those are used to oppress people groups. By teaching this in the classroom, we can show our kids what systems need to be challenged and thought about differently.
And that's a blatant lie right there, because the truth is that it's not about challenging systems. Critical race theory thinks that all of these systems are inherently racist and bad, and they need to be torn out by the roots, and there's nothing you can do to fix it. They're going to keep using sentences like, you have to put in the work, you have to be anti-racist, silence is violence. There's nothing you can do as a white person, as a black person. There's nothing in their minds that you can do to fix this. The people who believe in critical race theory, there's not a solution here. You can work as much as you want. This stuff in their minds is broken. It's going to be a complete overhaul of the system. Let's play the last part of this, Jared, before we go to break. Cut 15.
Racism isn't going to be fixed by me going down to a kid right here and saying, hey, buddy, you really need to be nicer to that kid over there, even though they look a little bit different than you. We can dismantle racism by dismantling systems of oppression, not by being nice to people.
No, hold on. And we'll get to this on the other side. We can dismantle racism by dismantling systems of oppression. Then I want to go back after the break and listen to exactly what he called systems of oppression. Because if we're dismantling all of these different systems, what is left? This critical race theory is so dangerous, and it's no wonder the parents are finally speaking up. I mean, the public school system lost how many kids? Let's see. 1.3 million students during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they're going to say it's because of virtual learning, which I think part of it is, but this isn't helping either. Eden Pure has done it again, this time with the BioSpeed Clean cordless vac that costs a fraction of what the other well-known brands charge. What do I mean by a fraction? I mean you're going to save about $200. This powerful vac has 8,000 kPa suction power to suck up pet hair or just your everyday messes. It also only weighs 6 pounds and has no cord. I love this thing because the worst part of a vacuum is that, speaking of octopuses or octopi, it's got tentacles. It's like you bring that out, it's a monster coming out of your closet. Not with this. With the BioSpeed Clean Cordless Vac, it's easy, it's light, it doesn't tangle. Those hassles are gone forever. It comes with 5 different attachments to easily clean every part of your home and car. It looks very sleek. It comes with an attachment so you can stick it on the wall so it doesn't take up any floor space. And it comes apart to be a handheld device too, which I know I really like when you have to just, you know, do a quick vac up your couch or, you know, something, some sort of furniture. You don't have to put the whole vacuum onto the couch. To make sure the BioSpeed Clean Vac traps everything, they've developed a powerful filter system so dust isn't being recycled into the air as you vacuum. Stop lugging that old dinosaur vac around and order the BioSpeed Clean today at half the price of the other brands at EdenPure.com. You'll save another $20 off plus free shipping with code word HowieClean. That's EdenPure.com. Click on the radio banner, then click my name and use code word HowieClean at checkout. We will be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared Diglio is on the board. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should drinking on the beach be legal?
No. After that caller who talked about sex on the beach, I'm all set on that.
41% of the audience says no, it should not, and 59% say yes.
We can't risk it, guys. PDA on the beach is bad enough. My eyes, I can't. Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, I should say. Everybody's going by numbers, but don't they realize that people can make numbers sound whatever direction they want?
Yeah.
Like, they are right. Oh, the deaths from this certain group have doubled. Well, that sounds terrible. But what they don't may not say is, oh, only two people died. Now it's four.
Right.
And when they start, you know, a couple of million people or 3 million people have died in the world from this COVID. Well, 0.1% is like over 6 million. So it's less than 0.1%.
Yeah, Joe, you just cut out there for a second. Yeah, and of course, Donald Trump said it a million times. I mean, one person is too many, and you know, you don't want to downplay the death of anyone. But I do see your point. There's this obsession with scaring people with these statistics and these numbers. And I remember a lot of people really pushing the cases are up this percent and this percent. But if you're asymptomatic and if you're fine and if you take, you know, 5 or 6 days off work and then you test negative, why are we scaring the crap out of people for that? Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Grace, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on, man?
I got a question and a comment. First of all, this is for Danny. He called you earlier. Question is, if we're all cuckoo as far as the numbers and science is ever evolving, can you please explain the environment to me? Because when I graduated high school in 93, they said in 10 years we're all going to be underwater. And 10 years later, the world was still here.
Oh, yeah. And we've just to your point, we've all died a million times over the last couple of years. I mean, I died way back when with net neutrality, but the world went extinct a long time ago. So, yeah, you're right. None of this makes any sense. And do you notice that the evolving thing is what I'm hearing a lot lately? You know, when Dr. Scott Atlas had a different opinion, it wasn't that, oh, his opinion evolved. It was always get him off YouTube or don't let him on the air. But now that it's Dr. Fauci, the evolving is the new word for flip-flopping.
Yeah, exactly. It's freaking ridiculous. No offense, sorry.
No, go ahead. And you said you had a comment.
My other comment is, you guys are playing all of a sudden ads of MSNBC on the radio. What's up with that?
Yeah, I know. We get a lot of heat for that. That's not really our thing, but, you know. Whatever, you got to keep the lights on, right? All right, so now quickly here, we're not going to play too much of this because it's painful, but the Washington Post got in a little bit of, I shouldn't say they got into trouble, I'll sound like Joe Biden, but they have a white shame video, and I just want to play a tiny bit, Jared. This is white shame, speaking of critical race theory. Cut five, please.
A living embodied anti-racist culture does not exist among white people. White people got to start getting together specifically around race.
White accountability groups are really helpful in terms of having a place to process, having a group of people whose responsibility it is to call me on things or to challenge me.
We're unpacking wrong things that we've been taught in history class. I realized that I needed to go back and unpack and reorganized everything that I had learned.
So much unpacking, so much reorganizing. We'll be right back, guys. 844-500-4242. A lot to unpack in the next segment. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Restaurants are now adding equity charges to customers' checks to fight oppression. Where should we eat tomorrow? My wife asked me excitedly as we sat in our deck Friday evening. She had locked down a babysitter for Saturday night. We were both eager for our first dinner date alone together in months. Broder's, I answered without hesitation. It has a great outdoor patio and the best Italian cuisine in the Twin Cities. We had not eaten there since the pandemic began. My wife nodded and started to make a reservation on her phone. Then her jaw dropped. You're not going to like this, she said. She was right. On its website, the restaurant has a notice to customers notifying them of a new 15% benefits and equity charge they've instituted. They justify the charge first by explaining that many states have allowed reduced minimum wages for service staff in the form of a tip credit. More on this in a minute. The restaurant's second justification is that many tippers are racist and sexist, according to uncited research. I like this piece, actually. I'll tweet this out for everybody. This is by John Miltimore. Studies have also shown that there is inequality and built-in bias in the way consumers give tips. In general, black or brown servers receive less tips than Caucasian servers. There is gender bias as well. The final part of the statement says the new policy stems from wider racial injustice and is not a substitute for gratuity. In the wake of racial injustice protests and the closures due to COVID, now is the time for Broder's to reimagine its economics and provide fair pay across the company. Our benefits and equity charge is applied entirely to employee compensation. This supplement helps us to set a $16 minimum hourly wage for customers facing employees, for customer-facing employees, $18 minimum hourly wage for kitchen employees. Altogether, this allows everyone in our company to earn a real living wage. The 15% benefits and equity charge is not a gratuity. That's just one example of how crazy this world has gotten. The Emmy Awards announced that stars can now request to be recognized as performer. The Emmy Awards are going gender neutral. Stars nominated in discriminatory actor or actress categories can now request to be listed as performer in nod to non-binary stars. I have to say that, first of all, I didn't even think NBC was going to carry the Emmy Awards anymore, so I don't know where this is going to be happening, or maybe that was the Golden Globes. But the truth is that I have really good news for everyone involved with the Emmys. I know how stressful it can be, you know, the pronouns, the gender bracelets, the gender fluidity, you know, the categories, actor, actress. There's so many opportunities to offend people with that. But the good news is that I don't think the awards themselves are going to exist for much longer. So you can eliminate categories or you can create categories, but soon this is going to be a non-issue because there will be no Emmy Awards. And that's one thing that I can take off your plate. Actor, actress, it doesn't really matter if no one's watching. And that's kind of a beautiful thing. I did want to talk a little bit here about this Joe Biden. Now, I don't normally play these supercuts. We put them into the loop. But Taylor noticed, and a lot of people have noticed, that he has this really strange habit of saying he's going to get in trouble. And it usually involves when he's talking to the press. Like if he goes out there and, you know, wanders through a cafeteria and gets caught by someone and starts talking to the press, he usually says he's going to get in trouble for taking questions. And what Stephen Miller on Twitter does every time he says that is he'll post a picture of Kathy Bates in misery looking over James Caan and looking like she's going to kill him. And, you know, you don't know who's the Kathy Bates in this situation. It could be Dr. Jill. It could be Kamala. Who really knows? But He's always saying how he's going to get in trouble. So Taylor put this together, and I thought it was worth playing on the air today. Cut 16, please, Jared.
You guys are bad. I'm not supposed to be answering all these questions. I'm supposed to leave.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place.
I'm sorry I'm going to get in trouble with staff. I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacob Bloomberg.
There's not a lot of people here. I apologize. I'm going to get in trouble.
It seems to me, Mr. President, we will be in deep trouble.
I got in trouble when we were running against the senator who was a Mormon.
I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead, but I pretend that you didn't answer you.
There is a real change in the weather. And if we go 1.5 degrees warmer, we're going to be in real trouble.
I'm looking for my mask. I'm in trouble.
Tony Blinken. Get my mask here, Tony, so I don't get in trouble. And we're going to clean off the podium.
So much trouble, so little time. You know who's not going to get in trouble, though, is China. China now says the Wuhan lab deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. They are just... This is how afraid they are of Joe Biden, all right? That they are just rubbing our noses in this now. This is a true story. The Chinese Foreign Ministry argues that the Wuhan Institute of Virology deserves to win the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm sorry, the Nobel Prize for Medicine. A look at the blatant contradictions in China's propaganda about vaccine diplomacy. This is from the National Review. Now it says, apparently progressives can't find anything to enjoy this summer. Late last week, the Chinese Academy of Sciences nominated the Wuhan Institute of Virology for its Outstanding Science and Technology Achievement Prize, specifically naming Xi Zhengli, a.k.a. Batwoman, and another person, director of the WIV's Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory. So they specifically are nominating Batwoman for this. Chinese state-run media explained that the award is mainly given to individuals or research groups who have made or demonstrated significant achievements in the past 5 years. China's foreign ministry spokesperson stressed at Thursday's press conference that scientists working at the WIV should be awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine rather than being blamed for being the first to discover the gene sequence of the coronavirus. We must admit, now this is the National Review, this is not me, I'm just quoting here. We must admit the Institute's work really has touched all of our lives, hasn't it? And just think how many medical breakthroughs we've seen in the past 18 months from Pfizer and Moderna and Oxford and Johnson & Johnson that would have never occurred if it had been for the earlier work of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The WIV's work literally brought the world to a screeching halt. It even made the late night television funny again. Snark aside, the fact that the Chinese government insists the Wuhan Institute of Virology deserves celebration is another indicator that it intends to change nothing in the aftermath of the pandemic. That goes without saying. And here I was thinking they were terrified of Uncle Joe.
Yeah, sure, I burned down your house, but now you got a new story on it on the rebuild. Come on, I'm the hero here.
They really aren't even trying to, to pretend that they're afraid. They just know. And the fact that now they're saying they deserve a Nobel Prize, I mean... I don't think we've heard the end of this story. I think there's more to this. Just don't tell Stephen Colbert, okay? Because it really upsets him. Another thing I wanted to hit really quick here. We might have a very surprised guest at 2:05. I don't want to say who because I don't want to get your hopes up and then disappoint. But if it happens, I'll be very happy. Now, there's been a lot of crime in New York City. I was going to talk to Joe Borelli, but it is the mayoral primary day, so everyone in New York City right now is very busy, especially the politicians. But I wanted to ask him what's going on in New York, because there's just been some horrible, horrible crimes. I mean, people just shooting each other right in the street in broad daylight, kids dodging out of the way from the bullets. It's awful to see. But a contributor on MSNBC had a different take. It turns out that all of this, the rising crime we're seeing in New York City, it's because of the police. Cut 19.
Many of the cities that have talked about removing that money, like Minneapolis and Seattle, they've actually paused or slowed how they were thinking about moving that money. So this rising crime is not the fault of the movement. It's actually the fault of the police. And this has been our point all along. Why should we keep funding systems and institutions that keep rendering themselves ineffective?
If, don't forget, it's also Trump's fault. I just want to throw that in. It's Orange Man's fault, too. We should keep that in mind. I'm actually surprised Sheldon Whitehouse didn't try that yesterday. They asked him, why do you belong to an all-white beach club? And he said it's a long tradition. But if he had just said, listen, we need to focus on what really matters, impeaching Trump for a fifth time, the media would have gone, you know what? He's on to something. This is a distraction. Let's play Sheldon before we go. Cut five, please, Jared.
Back in 2017, you had expressed concerns about the membership of the all-white Bailey's Beach Club, said that you hoped it would become more diverse. Now, your family's been members. Your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that, and I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
Do you have concerns in 2021? I mean, obviously, it's been 4 years. You had remarks on the floor following the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd saying, you know, hoping to root out systemic racism in the country. Your thoughts on an elite, all-white, wealthy club, again, in this day and age, you know, should these clubs continue to exist?
It's a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. I think we just need to work our way through the issues. Thank you.
Yeah, there are a lot of things. There are long traditions that are ended because they're racist. You know, that's not always the best excuse. Like, it's a long tradition. I don't think that's going to hold up in the woke court of law, my friend. And it's so, it's the craziest part of it is that we're told that racism is everywhere. You know, we're told that it's on your TV screen. It's in the way you interact with people. You don't even realize you're being racist, but the way you park your car is racist. The bicycle that you ride is racist. The food you eat is racist. Everything. It's in us. It's the, you know, I heard Ben Shapiro say it's the water we swim in. That's how they think of it. Everything in our lives is racist and there's nothing we can do about it. Yet a man who belongs to an all-white country club. Crickets. That's not racist. That actually is racist. It's always the things that scream to me racism that they have no interest in. But they're going to tell me to be less white at Coca-Cola. You know, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. The issues that we're told are saturated in bigotry and prejudice go on and on and on, and yet an actual example of racism is just nothing to see here, folks. Move along. I don't think it would be that way if this were Donald Trump or Donald Trump Jr. or Ivanka Trump or Kimberly Guilfoyle or anyone involved or any conservative. If this was Kevin McCarthy, if this was Ted Cruz, if this was Tom Cotton, do you think you'd be hearing about it a little bit more? Do you think there'd be a little more outrage? I think there might be. I think there might be more think pieces in the Washington Post and the New York Times. I think there might even be some protests, some peaceful protests about this. But I'm not hearing anything about it. Joy Reid's letting this one slide. Joe Scarborough's giving this one a pass. It's really incredible stuff. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. There is nothing. Right now, everyone, when they sell, it's just going so quickly. You really need to be on your toes. And if you're the one selling, you really want to make sure you're getting all your money, especially right now. Everything, every penny you can get out of a deal, you should be wanting. How do you know as a seller that you've realized all of the money for your property and if you've sold under the best terms? Well, when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified, cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you pay the commission. But in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays. That saves you you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We will be back. Speaking of people who get a complete pass, Hunter Biden. You know, when you hear Hunter Biden right now, you think racist slurs, sordid, gross, naked photos, drugs. But all the mainstream media wants to talk about is his paintings and how good of a painter he is. He's a real artist. And one person, and this might surprise you, one person is speaking out and saying that this art plan sounds like it could be grifty as hell. We're going to get into that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
All right, everyone, we have an update. Kamala Harris, the vice president slash comedian, is back, and she tried to make another joke. And based off Jared's face, I'm going to say it didn't land. Was it not a good one? No. Okay, let's play it.
It is always so inspiring to meet the children of our community. And Ross, you have approached your work, so many of us, with the same spirit, which is that the children of the community are the children of the community.
Was that supposed to be a joke?
Yep.
Wow. I wouldn't even. She usually laughs at her own jokes. She couldn't even get herself to laugh at that one. Obama's ethics chief. All right, now this is how you know it's bad. When Obama's ethics chief says Hunter Biden's shameful and grifty plan to sell his art. Walter Schaub was the Office of Government Ethics Director under Obama. He has urged Hunter Biden's art dealer to reveal the identity of the buyers. Schaub called the up to $500,000 prices for his artwork grotesquely inflated. The exhibition creates a risk of influence seekers funneling money to the Biden family, he added. Hunter will be displaying and selling his artwork in New York City this fall. His art dealer, George Burgess, has valued the work at between $75,000 and $500,000. All sales will be kept confidential despite his alleged corruption over prior business deals in the Ukraine and China. I was thinking this from the beginning. I'm like, how is this? Does this not just reek of grift to other people? He's blowing ink through a metal straw onto canvas. And I'm not saying they're not good paintings. I'm not an art girl, so I really don't know. But I never even took art history. So maybe they're brilliant. I just don't know. But you're telling me that this guy who spent the last 10 years texting people racial slurs and dealing with a drug habit and just causing all sorts of chaos for his family just happens to pick up a metal straw and he's Picasso. And his paintings are worth $500K. Yeah, we should know who's buying this art. I want to know if that Chinese businessman who gave Hunter the massive diamond in a hotel room has an interest in ink concentric circles on canvas. I have a feeling there's going to be a tie-in with that.
It's like that guy that goes to the prostitute and gets caught, and it's like, no, I paid her money for a joke. Here's the joke she told me.
Right.
No.
There's just no way that this isn't a grift. And it's not even a subtle one. That's the part of it that kills me. It's not even subtle. Shameful and grifty plan to sell his art. They never fail to disappoint. All right, when we get back, I'm hoping we're going to have a guest with us. And if I can land this, I think you guys will be very happy. We'll be right back. It's Tuesday, and it's The Grace Curley Show.